Welcome, everybody, to this recording of Jonah 4. We would like to welcome our members of Emmanuel Reformed Church and any guests that are tuning in and listening on this Lord's Day, whether that is in the morning, afternoon, or nighttime. We just want to thank you so much for choosing our mini service to listen to hear the Word of God preached. We have a couple of announcements for you guys today. The first announcement is that Narda Hokamp is in the Oshawa Hospital for hip surgery. We don't know whether she's going in now or if she's waiting for that due to COVID-19, but we encourage you all to pray for her and even call her if that is possible. The next announcement is that John Molinar will be preaching next week, recording his sermon next week, and we welcome him and we're very excited to hear him bring the word to us. And then after that week, I will be back with and starting with a series on Malachi. We'll be looking at Malachi chapter 1. We have a scripture reading today, and that is Matthew 18, 21 through 35. And I will wait a second for everybody to open up their Bibles to Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Okay, we will be looking at the parable of the unmerciful servant, and I will read it, and it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Now the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused instead. He went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Thus ends the reading of the Lord." Now, the reason why I picked Matthew 18, 21 through 35, this parable, is because it correlates with what we see in Jonah chapter 4. We see Jonah being forgiven in earlier chapters, but yet cannot forgive the Ninevites and wants destruction. We will obviously get into that later when I get into the sermon portion, but keep that in mind when I read Jonah 4 and begin my sermon. Now, if everybody could close their eyes and bow their head for a pastoral prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as servants, your servants. You are our master. You have forgiven our debts. You have wiped our debts away with the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we are thankful for this. We are thankful that you have canceled our debts. Our debts would have caused us death and agony, torture and pain, but because of your free gift of mercy and grace, we are now free to live for you and be your servants. Lord, we pray for your wisdom so that we may have the knowledge and understanding of this, and that we may be able to tell people about this great gift you have given us through your Son. Lord, we pray for your strength during COVID-19. We pray for your strength that we may not fear COVID-19, but we may be a light to the world, that when the world is scared and there's chaos all around, that they could look to your servants, your believers, your followers as a light and a vessel. And may this be a time of conversion if it is of your will. We pray during this time of isolation that we stay away from ungodly things and that we grow closer with you, that we focus on godly things. It is very easy for us to push you away and to focus on video games and television and everything that is not of you. But Father, we just pray that we may soak in what you would want us to soak in, Lord. May we understand that it is more important to grow closer to you than to catch up on whatever Netflix show we are watching. Lord, we pray also for our members of Emmanuel Church. We pray that you may keep them safe during this time. We're so very thankful for the people at Durham Christian Homes and in Whippy and in Bowmanville that are taking care of our elder members, Father, and even for the ones that are not in those homes. We pray for your protection over them and their households, that if they need anything, that they know they could come to the consistory of Emmanuel, and that we, through your provision, will be able to provide for them. Father, we especially think of Narda right now. We pray for her. We pray for healing. We pray for wisdom on the doctors. And especially during this time of COVID-19 and with uncertainty whether she will get the hip surgery that she needs right now or later on, Father, we just pray for your protection as she is in the hospital, where that is not a place that most people want to be during a pandemic. But Lord, may she trust in you and trust you that you are protecting her and that everything is of your will. Lord, we also pray for the persecuted church as we always do every Lord's Day or every recording. We think of them, we lift them up to you. Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit may come upon them and may guide them and strengthen them, and that they may not fear the uncertainty of their life or if they may die. But Father, may they trust and hold on to your promises that they will inherit the kingdom of God. We also pray and think of the people that are in abusive households. They cannot leave during this time and they are stuck at home. Father, there's no safe place for children such as schools or for parents as for work. Lord, we just pray that you may protect those people, that you protect the people of abusive households, that they know that is not true love, what is happening, but true love was found and is shown on the cross. And Lord, may they look to Christ and may they look to you during this time. We pray for COVID-19. We pray that we find a cure and that we're able to get back to the normal way of things. Lord, we are social people. We pray that we will be able to see each other and to be able to worship together soon. Father, we pray that we may not grow stagnant and comfortable in not being able to go to church and not having to wake up and get dressed and ready and go and sit. Lord, we pray that you may give us a fire and a yearning to be able to meet together as your saints to worship and glorify you on the Lord's Day. Lord, we pray for the consistory of Emmanuel. We pray for the pastoral search. We pray that your will be done on this and that you give us a sense of direction on where to go and who you are calling to Emmanuel. We pray for this person. We lift up this person. We pray for your protection for whoever you have picked for us. Lastly, Father, we pray for the RCA, our denomination. With what is going on in our denomination, there's a lot of uncertainty, but we know there's certainty in your word that we must follow your truth and follow you over denominations and untruth. Father, we pray for the RCA. We lift up the RCA. We pray that radicalness can happen in the RCA where they turn back and go and follow what is in your word. We pray for the leaders of the RCA, and we lift them up to you that they may have an experience with you in your word. And Lord, as we end this prayer, we pray together, even though we're not in the same place, but in unison, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining us in that pastoral prayer. Now I will ask you to open up your Bibles to Jonah chapter 4, and I will give you a second to do so, and I will be reading the entire chapter. Okay, Jonah chapter 4, Jonah's anger at the Lord's compassion. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat at the place east of the city, where he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I'm angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" Thus ends the reading of God's holy and efficacious word. Now, this title of this sermon, is Jonah 4, Jonah's anger at the Lord's compassion. And that is just taken right out of the Bible, because I thought that is just a perfect title for what we see here. So, due to COVID-19, I was off work for quite some time. I was doing my best to stay busy and stay active, but as some of you know, that can be hard. I was trying to write sermons preparing for when Jacob moved, but due to Emily's pregnancy, it was hard to do that. I had to help a lot with Elijah and with cleaning and doing things around the house. Now, I did not mind doing that because I will take care of my wife and my family, but even though I was not writing the sermons on Jonah, I was thinking about them. I was thinking, and I was having a hard time turning off my brain in that sense. So in me trying to stay busy and trying to think about my Jonah sermon series, I decided to watch VeggieTales, the VeggieTales version of Jonah, which happened to just be put on Netflix. Elijah and I watched it together, and it was a cute little film. I hadn't really watched it when I was younger. Now, it's not the most accurate depiction of Jonah, but for the most part, it hit all of the major themes. It was quite good, and I found myself probably enjoying it more than my son Elijah was. I knew what I was going to write for all the chapters of Jonah, but chapter 4. So as you are taught in Bible college, you go to VeggieTales for your inspiration. I am, of course, joking, and I know that may sometimes be hard to tell whether I'm joking via listening to a recording, but I want to make sure that you know I am joking. It was quite funny, though. You have this amazing story where a prophet of the Lord disobeys him, was swallowed whole by a giant fish, thinks he is dead, and by the grace of God was saved and thrown up on dry land. Jonah then goes to Nineveh and finally preaches the Lord's message. It was miraculous. Through the power of God, the Ninevites saw their sin, repented, and believed in God. You would assume that Jonah would be happy by this. Nope, not this prophet. He is angry and upset that God saved the people of Jonah, people of Nineveh. Then we have the most abrupt endings to any book of the Bible. The funny part of VeggieTales ending was once the father or person telling the story was finished, the kids all looked at each other and said, "Wait, that's it? That's the ending?" I thought it was quite funny because that is how I reacted to the ending. But it is obviously there for a reason, as for the Lord himself wrote this book just like every other book of the Bible. This chapter, though, poses a lot of questions that I think we should ask ourselves. Do we get angry with the Lord? Do we wish God does not have compassion on certain people? Are we more concerned for our physical belongings than the people God has called us to preach and to teach to? Do we sometimes take grace for granted? I was absolutely asking myself these questions while reading this chapter, and for the most part, the book of Jonah. I am hopefully going to answer these questions and more during the sermon. The thesis of this sermon is grace has been freely given to us. We, in response, should offer grace and forgiveness to others. We as believers must be and should be praying for the Lord's will to happen. When Jesus gave his disciples and us the Our Father, he calls us to pray for your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Heidelberg Catechism says in question and answer 124, when describing what the third request means, it says, "Help us and all people to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any backtalk. Your will alone is good. Help us on and all to carry out the work we are called to, as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven." This is something that Jonah does not show in the ending of this prophetic book. He also does not show grace in the ending of this prophetic book. There are two points or sections in this sermon, and they are, number one, Jonah's anger towards the Lord, which is verses 1 through 3. And then the second point is the Lord's response, which is verses 4 through 11, but there's two sub-points. Sub-point 1 is God asks, which is just verse 4, and then sub-point 2, God answers, which is verses 5 through 11. Now, we don't necessarily need context for what is going on because we had just went through this last week, but due to this being recorded, I want to give a little context for someone who may be listening in that may not have heard the story of Jonah before. We first see Jonah being commissioned by God to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach a message of warning that if they do not repent and turn from their evil and wicked ways, God will destroy them. An illustration of this would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Jonah refused and ran away from God. Jonah then goes on a boat headed for Tarshish that was in the opposite direction of Nineveh. The Lord created a massive storm, and Jonah was hurled overboard and swallowed whole by a fish. While in the fish, Jonah pleads with God and asks the Lord to forgive him, which the Lord did. Once Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and three nights, the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land. Once Jonah was on dry land, he was commissioned by the Lord to go out and preach to the people of Nineveh. Jonah, this time, having understood the importance of repentance from his own experience in the fish, the people of Nineveh listened to Jonah, and they all repented. God saw that they repented and relented from his anger and did not destroy them. We are now looking at what transpires after the Ninevites have been saved. So the first point, again, is titled Jonah's Anger Towards the Lord, which is found in verses 1 through 3, which I will read again. And it says, "But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Again, that is verses 1 through 3. We see right away that the real reason that Jonah fled to Tarshish and why he tried to hide from the Lord. He did not hide because he was scared. He did not hide because he was nervous and couldn't speak well like Moses. He didn't go because he didn't want to lose money because he couldn't work during this time. He left and fled because he did not want to see God have mercy on the people of Nineveh. Now, most prophets would have been ecstatic at the outcome that we see in Jonah chapter 3. Most of us today would be overjoyed by this kind of repentance and conversion. It is by far one of the greatest conversion stories of the entire Bible and one of the most drastic. We have prophets lamenting over people that they are ministering to come and to repent. But Jonah is quite the opposite. He is not your prototypical prophet. He flees and disobeys God's call. And then when he does what the Lord has asked him to do, and it seemed like it worked, he gets angry and he gets upset. Why would Jonah be so angry? Angry enough to want to die. We need to look at who the people of Nineveh were. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, a ruthless and warlike people who were in fact enemies to Israel. The destruction of Nineveh would have been a victory for Israel and a personal victory for Jonah, who knows how evil the Assyrian Empire was. Jonah would have looked at this as a just punishment for what the Assyrians have done to Israel. Jonah, being a true countryman and being a man who loves his own people, wanted to see true justice. But what is true justice? What is true punishment? We as sinners know what true justice is. Death. We all deserved to die because of our sins. Jonah, yes, was an Israelite and has been under the protection of the Lord, but God's grace is free. And as the prophet Moses says, God will show mercy to whom he shows mercy and will show grace to whom he shows grace. Some of the Lord's attributes are mentioned in chapter 4. Jonah says that God is gracious, compassionate, abounding in love, and someone who relents from sending calamity. Now, are these all the attributes of God? No, our God has many attributes, but these are important ones. We serve a gracious, compassionate, loving God. We all know this and have personally experienced this. Every single person who is in a personal relationship with the Lord knows how gracious our God is. God was gracious to us. He was compassionate to us. He is still gracious and compassionate to us. In sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, he showed us great love and how he does not relent. He does relent from sending calamity. Due to God's nature, we in return should show these types of attributes. Jonah should have shown these types of attributes towards the Ninevites. Jonah was showing his humanity. Jonah was showing his sinful nature by being angry with God and wanting God to not show grace on the people of Nineveh. Have you ever done this? Have you ever wondered or have been angry or upset with God bestowing his grace upon a person or upon a people group? We have all done it in a way. We have all been selfish as Jonah was selfish. We should rejoice when people come to the Lord. It should not matter what they have done beforehand. It should not matter their past. Paul describes himself as the worst sinner in 1 Timothy 1:15, which says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Before he came to the Lord, he was killing Christians. Before his encounter with Jesus, he was slaughtering the very people he would later write to and encourage. He would even be killed for this gospel. Did God look at Paul and say, "No, you are too evil, I can't use you? I can't wipe away your sins, you are too bad"? Absolutely not. He said, All are sinful and evil, but nothing and no one can be too far gone for me. For I am the Lord. We even see this in Jonah chapter 2, where Jonah says that God can hear him in the depths of Sheol. We have all been wiped clean by the blood of Christ. We have all been made white as snow because of Christ. We need to rejoice, as Luke 15:10 says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There would have been a great and loud rejoice in heaven when the people of Nineveh repented, but due to Jonah's sinful ways, he could not see this. He could not see the bigger picture. He could not rejoice because he was stuck in his sin. He could not join in with the celebration because of his humanity. Let us not allow our humanity and our sin to affect our rejoicing in the Lord. Jonah here and in the rest of chapter 4 asks God to kill him not once, not twice, but three separate times. He goes on to say that he is so angry, I wish I were dead. Now, when I'm reading this, it kind of sounds like a temper tantrum of a teenager mad with his or her parents. I read these and cannot help to think of all the videos I've seen on YouTube or Facebook of temper tantrums of children or of teenagers. I'm sure everyone with children can attest to seeing and being a part of these tantrums. Even those without children, I'm sure you have seen these types of tantrums before. It is when someone does not get their way, when a kid wants to get the new toy or go outside and their parents say no to them, they will freak out and have a tantrum, resulting in usually slamming doors, kicking and screaming, crying, and occasionally, if the child or teen is overly dramatic, they would say they want to die. Now, they usually do not mean this. It is usually a figure of speech, like, if we do not get this, I will die. And this is exactly what Jonah is doing. He does not get his way, so he has a tantrum against his heavenly Father. Now let's look at the applications of this point so that we can apply them to our own lives. Number one, we as representatives of Christ need to show and have these attributes when dealing with people. We must show grace because we have been shown a great grace. We must show love because we again have been shown a great love. We need to relent from calamity because the Lord relented on us. We cannot accept these gifts to just turn around and not show them to other people. And that is, again, a note of the Matthew chapter that we looked at earlier. We must rejoice when someone comes to the Lord. We must rejoice when someone repents and believes. When we repented, the heavens rejoiced. We must share in their rejoicing over any sinner who comes to the Lord, despite their past. Now, point two is titled The Lord's Response, which is found again in verses 4 through 11, but we will be looking at sub-point one, which is entitled God Asks. That is verse 4, which says, "But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry?" Again, that is verse 4. I'm sure when most of you were children, you would bring a problem or a complaint or a question of wanting something, and your parents answered with another question. That personally happened to me, and I've seen this happen to a lot of my friends and also my sister. It's a great tactic that parents use to disarm their children and make them think inwardly, not outwardly. A child comes up to his parents saying he needs, not just needs, but if he doesn't get it, it would be the worst possible thing to him if he does not get, for example, the next NBA game. The child becomes angry when he doesn't get his way. Then the parents ask, is it necessary or right for you to be angry? Should you be angry? Now you can just imagine Jonah and how he was so upset and angry he wanted to die. He was vexed towards the Lord, and God answers Jonah like a parent answers their child with a simple question. A question that should humble Jonah to his very core. A question that would humble me, it should humble you as well. The God of the universe speaks directly at Jonah and says, is it right for you to be angry? What a great question. Is it right for you to be angry? We read and hear this story, and we should say, no, it is not. God just saved you and showed you grace. God saved you even though you did not deserve it. 2 chapters ago. So why can't God save the people of Nineveh who, just like you, did not deserve grace? God, out of his good will, saves us. Not by what we have done, but what he has done. This is why I read the story of the parable of the unmerciful servant, which is found in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. At the beginning of the recording, to show you a similar story to Jonah. This is so remarkably similar to the story of Jonah in the sense that Jonah, who disobeyed God and deserved death, was saved by God out of his good will. God is our master. We are his servants. God has wiped our debt free by his mercy and by his grace and by his Son. Amen to this truth. We have been freely given grace by our God, just like in the parable of the unmerciful servant. Master freely forgives his servant's debt, and expects him to do the same. We must mean it when we forgive. Just like last week when I said that God knows our hearts, we see this in verse 35 of this story. In the story we read at the beginning, which says, "This is how my heavenly Father will tread each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." God calls us to love our neighbors, to forgive our neighbors as we have been forgiven and loved. When Jesus was asked to explain the law, he condensed the law into 2 commandments, which we see in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, which says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these 2 commandments. We need to show grace because we have been given grace. Let us not forget the grace that has been given to us like Jonah has, even though it is terribly easy to. This week, I was working, and somebody went into my truck to move my truck and used a bunch of my Lysol wipes that I brought from home. I didn't have many left, and I got overly angry with this person and when I shouldn't have. And I responded, and I said, you know, you used all my Lysol wipes, and I don't have any gloves, and what am I going to do now? This was mine. I brought it from home. It wasn't for you to use. I even wrote, "Do not use," on the Lysol wipes. He responded and said, "I have extra gloves. Let me go get you some." He does not know the Lord. He actually talks frequently about how he is against the Christian faith and against Christian teaching. But yet he showed me up, a Christian, somebody that is supposedly following Christ. He showed me up by turning the other cheek and giving me extra gloves so that I could be safe, but yet I couldn't allow him to use some of my Lysol wipes. I forgot the grace that has been given to me in that moment. And again, it is very easy to, but let us not forget. I later on apologized to him, and he thought my apology was kind of weird. He said he didn't no need necessary for an apology, but I felt terrible, and I was writing this sermon while this happened, and I couldn't believe at the hypocrite that I was in that moment. But that is how easy it is to forget the grace that we have been given. Now, the applications to this subpoint are, 1, should we get angry with God? Is it justified? No, it is not. He is perfect and holy. We are not. We need to trust God and not get angry with him or his will. His will is perfect. We may not understand it at times, but it is the best, and we must trust in him. As Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Let us be reminded of these beautiful words when we get angry with the Lord and not trust the Lord. Let us lean on him and not on ourselves. God, our master, God, our master, paid our debts through his son, Jesus Christ. We are his servants now, free from the bondage of sin because of his mercy. We are no longer servants to sin. We are servants to the Most High. We need to show love and mercy to our neighbors, even if we feel like they have wronged us, because we wrong God every day by sinning, but yet he forgives us every single time, just like God forgave me for the Lysol wipe experience. We need to forgive like this and show mercy like this. Number three, we need to rejoice when people come to the Lord, not get angry. I know I said this with the last point, but it's just so important to remember this. I wanted to add it again. It does not matter their past. There's a saying that said, every sinner has a future and every saint has a past. And that is so very true. We all have a past muddied and dirtied by sin, but our future in Christ is clean and white as snow. Let us remember that and rejoice when somebody is cleansed of their muddied past and their muddy sin and come out clean because of Christ. Now, subpoint two is titled God Answers, which is found in verses 5 through 11, which I will read, which says, Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very pleased and was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, he said. It would be better for me to live than to die. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. And I am so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang overnight and died overnight. And should you have not concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals. Again, those are verses 5 through 11. We are finally at the abrupt ending I talked about at the beginning of the recording, where God just stopped the dialogue with Jonah and the book just finishes. You know, it's just so very weird to read this and try to have an understanding of what is going on when there is no real conclusion. But as I said earlier, God wrote this, and we must trust that he put everything that he wanted to put in the book of Jonah. Now we had in verse 4, God responding to Jonah's anger with a simple question. Is it right for you to be angry? Jonah in his anger decided to ignore God's question and head outside of the city so he could still see this hopeful destruction of Nineveh. But God, being merciful and gracious, provided Jonah with a plant large enough to protect him from the rays of the sun, a natural sunscreen. Even with Jonah being short-sighted and angry, God still loves Jonah, and still wants to protect Jonah. Now God does the same with us. Even when we sin against him, he still protects and loves us. This should remind us of John chapter 10, when Jesus says that he is the great shepherd and he will protect his sheep from the wolves of this world. He will protect us from the evils of this world. Will we be tested or stretched in our walk? Yes, but we need to always remember we are being looked after and being taken care of our great shepherd. We finally see Jonah turn from being so angry to being so pleased with God in the giving and provided plan. He went from wanting to die to be extremely happy and content with what the Lord had provided him, then back to wanting to die. It is like a roller coaster of emotions right now. One minute he is angry, then the next happy, and then the next then angry once again. Emily said I could say this. Emily, since she is pregnant, her emotions are a roller coaster, and it kind of reminds me of Emily while she is pregnant. And I love her, and I did ask permission to say that, so she is okay with me saying that. It is very normal with all the hormones that are going on, and it is beautiful. But anyways, Jonah is angry again because he appointed a worm. This is the same wording as in chapter 1 when God appointed a fish to swallow Jonah up. He appointed a worm to eat the plant that provided relief from the sun. Once God had done that, God then provided a scorching wind that came upon Jonah, and the sun beamed on his head. Now, if any of you have had sunstroke, you know what Jonah would have been feeling. Your whole body begins to hurt. You get a throbbing headache. You become dizzy, trouble breathing, cramps, muscle spasms, lightheadedness, and nausea and vomiting. I am a paver as I finish up my schooling, and I have had sunstroke. I've had the sun rays beating down on my head, and you truly do feel like you are dying. This actually happened to me last week. It was very hot, and I forgot my sunscreen, and I got burnt, and I looked like a tomato for a couple days. This is why we see Jonah say, "It would be better for me to die than to live." Jonah is not just angry and upset that he got sunstroke, but is angry with God again for taking away the plant that provided Jonah protection. God is the maker of everything. Everything we have and everything that belongs to us has been given to us by God. We should not be upset when God takes away something from us because it is rightfully His. We see this in the story of Job, and we specifically see this in Job 1:21, which says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Job is described to be a very wealthy and rich man. He has everything a man wants as the world would look at. He has a big family, a lot of animals, a vineyard, a lot of properties, etc. When all of these things were taken away, he understands and realizes that the Lord has given him all these things, and the Lord can also take them away. My apologies, I lost the marking there. Does this mean we only praise the Lord when he bestows gifts upon us? No, we praise him when he gives. We praise him when he takes away. We must always continually be praising the Lord. As Psalm 34 tells us, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Let us have this kind of mindset, not the mindset that we see in Jonah, that Jonah has in this chapter and this whole book. Now, we finally see why God gave Jonah the plant and then took it away. It was a lesson, somewhat of a parable almost. God gave Jonah the plant and then took it away to ask Jonah a similar question as he asked earlier in this chapter. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah responds with, "It is. And I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." When my parents would ask me questions like that, I would answer like that as well. Try to take them in for a loop, but you can't do that with the Lord. So Jonah obviously does not ignore God. He responds to God, but with the wrong answer. God did this to show Jonah that Jonah loved the plant God had created and was extremely upset when it was killed. God then says, "You did not tend to it. You did not create it." Imagine how I feel. I created the Ninevites. I created those people. I know everything about them. Not even a hair falls from their head without me knowing. God is saying that the people of Nineveh are more deserving of compassion than a plant. God loves his creation. He loves his people. He wants to save them. That is why he sent his son to die for these people, his elect. We care about our wives and our children, our fathers and our mothers. Would you send your firstborn to die for them, to be humiliated for them, to be naked and nailed to a cross for them, to be publicly mocked and ridiculed for them? Well, God did. God sent his one and only son to do this, all those things for us, his people. Our God is a God of love, compassion, mercy. Let us take hope in that. Let us take assurance in that. That all whom the Father calls the Son has saved. I implore you and pray that if you have not experienced this, if you have not come to the Father repenting of your sins, asking to make your heart of stone into a heart of flesh, I implore you to. For there is life and freedom in God. We experience his saving grace like the people of Nineveh have, and I pray that you may as well. Again, there is life in God, but outside of God, there is only death and destruction. Now, the applications of this point are very simple, very short, but very effective. Number one, God loves us and protects us even when we wrong him. Number two, Christ is our great shepherd. Trust that he will protect and keep you and guide you all the days of your life. And number three, God loves us enough to send his son to die for us. Well, we are now done the book of Jonah. What a great book with a lot of ups and downs, but a lot of lessons. I pray that you may take heart what you learned from the study of Jonah, that we serve a loving, compassionate, caring God that loves his creation and wants to save his creation, that we must repent and turn away from our sins, that his will is perfect and we must seek it out, that God is the Father, is the author, the Father, and creator of salvation. God can save you. Only God can save you. No matter where you are, no matter what you have done, the blood of his son has the power to save all whom the Father calls. With this knowledge, may we be good stewards of this grace and mercy. May we show people and tell people of this wonderful free gift that has been given to us by our heavenly Father and by the God of this universe. Amen. Now, it is not Mother's Day when we did this recording, but on Sunday, which is when you'll be listening to this, it is Mother's Day, and we wanted to make sure that you didn't think we forgot. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, but also happy Woman Day, or whatever you want to call it, to all the people that do not have, that are not mothers, that have had a bad relationship with their mom. We want to think of you, and that we're praying for all the women out there and all of our members today. And we're just so very thankful for our moms and everything that they have done for us, but ultimately we glorify our Father who have given us our moms. Amen.